One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Yeah. I'm jigging along. I'm clicking my fingers here.
Came into our mailbox this week. Judith, tell everybody what that is. I'm having a massive, hot, flushy thing at that.
Of joy.
I'm crying.
Oh, yes. Me too. It's joyous, isn't it? Well, you set down a challenge, didn't you, several weeks ago?
Did I? I can't even remember.
It was a while ago, and you said, wouldn't it be fab if somebody did the theme tune with a recorder? Thomas Warren, who's 32 years old and lives in New Zealand, said he's, well, I think they've got their second lockdown. He says he's got a bit of time on his hands. And he's done that!
How much time on your hands would you need? I'd need about 100 years. If someone set me that challenge with my musical ability, which is so bad it's not even at nil. If you had a scale of musical ability, mine is like sub, minus.
No, it can't be. It can't be.
Honestly, Judith, you can test me one day. I'm absolutely tone deaf. Thomas Warren, as you said, Judith, he's 32. He lives 32? In New Zealand. How does he even know about it?
That's the mystery, isn't it? I've no idea. I'm pretty sure he says he listens to us while he's doing the dishes. But, you know, God, Thomas, bloody hell, gold stars.
Oh, so he's a gay. He's gay. That's why he knows who we are. We're big with the young gay men. We remind them of the mothers that, or the mothers they'd like to have had. Maybe I think we might be quite big with men who have difficult relationships with their mothers. And we'd rather
think?
We were, well, probably you, not me so much. or else men that were genuinely fond of their mothers might have lost their mothers, and we're kind of mother replacements. Whatever it is, Judith, it's quite a position of responsibility.
It is. Well, either that, I think, perhaps, or we are kind of living proof that mothers could be even worse. Maybe they listen to us and think, yeah. Thank God.
Yeah, thank
mine's
God
quite
that
normal.
One's not coming for Christmas.
Yeah,
thank
absolutely.
Thank God I'm not going to have that for 2 weeks over the holiday period.
Yeah. Mind you, did you see that somebody had invited us to dinner in Sydney?
We're international. Judith, do you
yeah.
know
Should
what
we go?
This means?
What?
Well, yeah, let's just pop by unannounced, see how they cope with that. But they do strike me as the kind of women that would have a vat of coleslaw at the ready just in case.
I think they
just
would.
Might do that. Well, anyway, Judith, you know, I live in a world of pain now and again. This is, you know, it's not dramatic. It's not going to kill me, but I get very
Sounds
bad.
Sounds dramatic.
Yes, I
go
know.
On.
Well, I'm being dramatic about it. It's yes. my mouth ulcers. You know
oh,
how
I
suffer.
Know. Yeah, I do know you suffer.
It's mostly allergy driven. Anything red, tomatoes, etc. Anyway, I was in the chemist the other day and I said, I can go on no longer. I'm at the end of my tether. And anyway, they gave me this little tube of gel. Mm-hmm. And it's Aura Gel. And I've got the dental gel. I think it's for people who've just had teeth taken out and are in, you know, a lot of agony. Yeah. And it numbs, Judith, it numbs. I don't know quite where to put it next because it's so effective. I'm just putting a little bit on my mouth ulcer now. I might, oh, it hurts a little, stings a little, oh, a little sting. And then, oh, sweet relief.
Wow. So, yeah, so this... better than Bonjela, which is the only thing I know
God.
About.
Oh,
that
Judith,
area.
That's for babies. Because that to babies.
Is it? This is the heroin of the mouth ulcer,
yeah,
is
yeah.
it?
Yeah, this is like kind of liquid morphine. I mean, we shouldn't be encouraging the use, etc. And I'm sure it's not liquid morphine because I don't think it would cost under a fiver from the chemist if it was. But anyway, if anybody like me suffers from the mouth ulcers, that's that does the trick. Anyway.
Very good. hand, you're not talking like you just had a filling done. So it's numb,
give me
but you
time.
Can still talk.
Give me time. I've put quite. I've just slathered quite a big lump on, actually, and I think in about 5 minutes. Anyway, what about that recorder thing? Wasn't it good?
Oh, it was so good. And it took me back. Did it take you back to the recorder
days? Where did it take you back to, Judith? I want you to paint me a picture of the little Judith in her recorder class.
Well, what I'd completely forgotten about, of course, is that they were communal, weren't they? So basically, I'm picturing myself in, maybe I was wearing the AirTex, maybe it was after gym, I don't know. But yes, there was a kind of a communal recorder box and you took one. And if you were unlucky and like the class before had been doing recorder, it was still wet, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember having to blow it out? I think you used to blow somebody else's spit out.
Yeah, blow the other person's spit out. Can you imagine doing that in the days of Corona? Oh. God, let's have a filthy box of communal recorders for a load of primary school kids. Well, my abiding sense of this, my abiding memory, is the smell was like dog breath. It was like a box of wet dog breath.
Yes, it was.
Of the spittle-chewed wood.
Do you remember, do you remember the white bit? If you were really, it was like, oh, God.
Now, the white bit, if you're talking about white bits, yours were plastic then.
They were wood. Oh, no, they were wood. But the thing you used to blow in was
chewed.
Plastic,
absolutely.
Wasn't it?
Like a dog, like a terrier had had it. Like your poppy had had it in its basket for about 6 months.
Oh,
disgusting.
I know. The only thing I ever mastered was the first three notes of Good King Wenceslas. And bear in mind that they're all three the same. They're the same notes. That was the only thing. And do you remember the leaflets that came with it? Yeah, exactly. And then they came with a leaflet, didn't they? And they were supposed to show you with little black dots as to where you know, how many fingers you did and everything. And some bastard children were just great. They were really... I was still...
Well, you know, I've never had any musical skills whatsoever. And I mean, I think very early on in recorder, this was pretty apparent. And I remember sort of manfully trying to play Little Bird I Have Heard. Did you do that one, Judith?
How's that go?
Little Bird I Have Heard, la la la, what a pretty song you sing. I think I'm demonstrating my lack of musical ability quite well here.
Wasn't too bad.
The thing is, I'm a dribbler, Judith. The world divides into the dribblers and the non-dribblers. You know, any end will do. And I was one of those girls that the spit would come out the other end.
Come out and drip onto your foot.
Well, no, worse than that, Judith. It would drip into the Tune A Day book. And my Tune A Day book looked like it had been left out in the rain for a couple of months. It was all bumpy with my own spit.
Oh, we were, I think I was obviously shoved to the back in some dullard's corner in terms of the music. And then, of course, everybody scampered on, I remember. You know, the people at the front scampered on with reading music.
Or going on to other instruments, because the recorder is the first thing, isn't it? And I think it's the sorting of the wheat from the chaff.
It probably
is. It's a bit like a sorting hat in Harry Potter. You know, if you can master Little Bird or Good King Wenceslas, then you're automatically put on a list which sort of says potential for other instruments. Yeah.
Sent home with a violin in a case. Oh, yeah, look at me.
Did you ever?
Oh, violin? No, of course I didn't. Of course I didn't. Never. Have you ever been in a choir? No.
Right. Once upon a time, this is a terrible thing that happened to me at a very young and tender age. My sister can sing a bit, right? I don't know about Benjamin because I've never bothered to ask or listen. He's quite a lot younger than me, my younger brother. So, you know, whether he could sing or not, what was I wouldn't be interested.
Oh, of course you
wouldn't. Give a shit about whether Ben could sing or not. But I was at the same primary school in Berlin as my sister. And there was an incident whereby our school, which was Charlottenburg International School, and we were going to be on the television singing, I think it was an English carol.
Wow.
Yes, yes. Guess who was asked to stand at the back and mime? Now, you've got to bear in mind that I left Berlin when I was about 8. So this happened to me before I was 8.
Oh, Jenny.
I was already being told, more or less by a television producer, that I was spoiling sound. or something.
And
I always remember, I don't know whether this is a real memory or something that I've conjured up in my head, but I can see my sister singing on the television. I can see the cameras on
at the front, focusing on her singing. Like in Songs of Praise.
Yeah, and I cannot see me.
Of course you can't.
Because I don't think the camera came anywhere near me.
Oh, it's kind of even worse than being picked last for netball, isn't it? It's actually worse than that, and that was always quite bad because that happened to me.
It traumatised me for life. Now, what did you do with the girls? Did you push?
Yes, of course I did. I'm surprised you even have to ask. Yes, yeah, Sienna got up to grade 5. Oh, there was a lot of, taking them and hanging around outside for an hour. Didn't even have mobile phones in those days. Don't know what I used to do with the car.
Masturbate.
Yeah.
That's all we used to do in the olden days because we didn't have Twitter. We just used to masturbate. Masturbating in the car, waiting for our daughters.
I've never done that. And I think Sienna got to grade 5 and, characteristically Ellen got to, I think, about 3 or 4. So there were concerts. I think the trouble is that then what would happen is that they'd say, oh, we're doing a concert, and sort of lay out the chairs like kids do. And sell us our own choc ices out of the freezer and sort of, all that business. So there was a lot of, oh, it's very good. Oh, there's another one coming, there's another number. And there's
did
another
you have
number.
A piano in the house? I can't remember.
Yeah, we did in the hall. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I do remember that now. Yes.
What about you? I suppose Phoebe did she? Of course she did.
First of all, we attempted the cello with her, but that wasn't
what,
successful.
First? First?
Yeah, well, ambitious. Yeah. I think it was the thing that was left over at her school, all the violins had gone. And and then she never showed any real promise. But and it was a big fucker in the car as well, to be honest.
Was.
I think they just the favoured parents got the little violins and all that kind of thing. And I think they were a bit fed up of me. And they just thought, all right, bitch, you can have the cello.
You can lug this around. Yeah. Take that.
And then when she went to her girls' secondary school, I pushed her into the piano. And I was convinced she was gifted, of course. I thought she might be a concert pianist.
Naturally.
I think she was all right. And I think she got some grades, but I've no idea where she went up to. And then I found out later that she and her piano teacher just got on really well. And she told the piano teacher she wasn't really interested in playing the piano. And the piano teacher said, yeah, but your parents really want you to do it. So, why don't we just have a nice chat?
Really?
They used to play a bit of piano, but not with any sort of marked improvement. And they just had a lovely chat. And I think Phoebe really liked this teacher. And they just had half an hour of lovely chatting. And that's fine.
Very nice. Probably better
than the piano. Whilst I was paying through the nose.
Of course you were.
Yeah, but, but I think also... what the worst thing, I've told you this before, Judith, and I'll just very briefly say it. It was that the pushiness of the parent that can really backfire. And that time, and when it really manifested itself, was when I bought her the pink electric guitar. Got it from when he was working at the TV Times. And she was absolutely gutted on Christmas Day. And as she admitted to me years later, she just said, I thought you really wanted me to be in a band. And I thought, I don't want to be in a band. And she... doesn't understand that I'm not, I don't want to be a Spice Girl. Isn't the terrible things we do to our children? Anyway, that's our musical thing out of the way.
We have seen each other recently, yeah. Have
this
we
is
not?
Why people will be listening in. They're wondering whether we've fallen out. Some people are thinking there might not be a show this week. Maybe they're sick to death of each other.
Exactly.
It went quite well, Judith, I think. Well, the meal wasn't good.
Well, it was lovely to see. It really was. It was fabulous to see you. But I think we should give each other's marks. Me, I think I should mark you as the host and you should mark me as the guest. Well, me and Mike as guests, sir. I just think that might be an interesting thing to do, don't you think?
Well, I'm quite anxious about this, Judith, because I've never really done this before. And well, not out loud. I mean, obviously, Jeff and I have come back from dinner parties and things and gone, what about that pudding? That was awful, wasn't it?
Well, of course you have. Who hasn't? The main fun bit about being in a couple is that you can do that on the way home.
Yeah. But I think that, I'm going to mark my chicken dish first and I give that 6. It was a bit dry.
Well, yeah, it was very nice. It was very nice indeed. I just think we could probably have eaten about three times as much. I mean, that's the only thing. I mean, we are big eaters, Jenny. You've obviously forgotten or not noticed that whenever I've eaten at your house, I've eaten more than you and Jeff put together. And Mike, honestly, Mike's terrible. Mike, I've noticed.
Well, I don't know
actually.
Where he puts it.
No, I know he's not even overweight, is he? But I've noticed.
He's underweight, Judith.
Well,
he came
come
in
on.
And I thought, poor
don't
little
rub
mite.
It in. Don't rub it in. No, but he's a very big. In fact, I've noticed he's so greedy when he goes to eat to other people's houses. I've noticed that Liz, occasionally, you know, obviously has seconds, you know, hearty yeah. seconds. And then once or twice in the past, she said, "Will anybody like a bit more?" He said, "Yes, please."
Well, I have to admit, right, that when I got the chicken out of the freezer, I thought, "Oh, these thighs are a bit supermodel." They had a bit of a thigh gap. I was hoping for, you know, some plump chicken thighs. I thought, oh, well, I'm fucked if I'm going back to the supermarket now. This will have to do. And we only, we had two chicken thighs each. And I cut them up to try.
Spread them out.
And when I was serving it out, I was trying to sort of do a bit of a family hold back on me and Jeff. So,
were you?
Yeah. So basically, we had one chicken thigh each. And you and Mike had three each. And you were still... And then at the end of the meal, right, and I put some cheese and biscuits out. Mike was eating cheese and bread. had a big sourdough loaf and he cut himself a big slab of bread.
That was after the chicken and the pudding.
And the cheese and biscuits. But he had cheese and bread to kind of fill himself up.
Yes, he is. He's a big eater, I'm afraid. He really is. I mean, it was delicious. I mean, I must admit, Sunday lunch, I was expecting some gravy. So there was a bit of gravy let down, if I'm honest. Just being honest. Because I like a bit of gravy.
It was in a paprika and a smoked paprika and cumin. It was chicken thighs and smoke. It was a tray bake.
Yeah.
It was a bit dry. I should have popped a kettle on and just sort of, you know, slopped some hot water in it. Really.
Is that why you brought out a jug of yogurt, which did confuse me? We weren't quite sure what to do that. We had a dollop
each. It was a Moroccan dish, Judith.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
See, you should have explained that. Perhaps you should have announced that.
Well, you shouldn't need explaining. It was. Did you not think? Well, because it had cumin and paprika. And so one of the serving suggestions, you did say, what's this yogurt for? And I thought, well, it's... It said on the recipe, BBC recipe, serving suggestion
kicks, aren't
with
yogurt. Oh, I see. So you didn't just go to the fridge and think, oh, I'll plump it out with that. I thought that's what you'd done. Oh, I'm sorry. I hadn't realised. Had you said? Oh, well, I'm going to mark you up a bit for that then. Because you were about 6.5, but I'm putting you up to a 7 overall then. But I thought the Bort pudding, you know, you lost a bit of marks on that, I'm afraid.
Oh, yeah. Well, do you know, we'll explain later why I did not have much time to cater to your every whim. Also, I was going to do... a side dish, a side fruit salad. And then when I looked at my fruit, it had all gone off. And there was this pineapple weeping. Do you know what I mean? When it's just, and it looks all right from a distance. Oh. And then when you pick it up, the bottom half is just sucking.
Oh, I do. And then it's fizzy. You know when it goes fizzy?
Yeah. And I thought, she won't let me get away with that.
No.
And then there were these blackberries in the fridge. And they were just thick with mould. I mean, you know, absolutely. I thought, well, it's a good job I bought that lemon tart from Marks and Spencer's.
It was very nice. It's very nice. Although the size of the slice that Jeff offered me first was kind of embarrassingly small.
I know, but you said small, so he did...
A sliver. You were talking a sliver. Clearly, Mike and I could eat you out. I mean, we obviously much bigger eaters in a rather embarrassing
way. Did you have something on the way home?
Well, no,
did you stop for an ice cream?
We had something when we got back, though.
Oh, we had something for supper.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What did we have for supper?
Didn't have any leftover chicken, that's for sure.
Oh, no, there was no leftover chicken.
No, of course there wasn't.
There was some red pepper, because it was red peppers as well. There was some red pepper and potato. And I think because I had an old piece of quiche knocking around from a few...
I don't knock an old piece of quiche. Nothing wrong with that.
I should have put that on the side.
Well, I think we seem to have cobbled it up. Yes. The only thing, the other thing that happened, of course, at lunch is that I was so keen to get the olives down my gob that I splattered bloody black olive stuff all over that gorgeous silky top I wore. First time I'd worn it.
What did I do for you, Judith?
Oh, you
I
were
put
very
it in
good.
The washing machine.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a very high mark for hostess because you were very, the two of you were very good. Straight in the washing machine.
Yeah, Jeff's great on stains. He immediately went into sort of his stain hero. He's kind of like a Mr. Stain hero. And he said, you want to get that off and in the wash as soon as possible.
I know, brilliant. And very good
calmly,
advice.
I said, Judith, remove your top. You're welcome to sit at my table in your bra.
Oh,
it's a good one.
Imagine?
I know it is.
Dear me.
And we whipped your top off. I lent you a top.
Very good.
And,
very good. Very
in the,
good.
Straight in the washing machine. And the stain came out.
I know. It's very good. I mean, it's only because I didn't want to be upstaged by your change of costume, which you'd announced to the whole gang that you were going to do, which indeed you did.
Yeah, well, you did as well, but only by default.
Yeah,
you'd
by stained. Accident.
So you actually beat me because you did three changes. First of all, you arrived in your cos silky top with your patterned trousers.
Which I thought was a bit of a triumph myself.
Yes, very, very good outfit.
Before I splattered it, but yeah.
And then you did the splatter. So I lent you just a pink toast linen top, which I think you looked very nice in, actually. I think the colour, I think you looked good in that colour. I think a pale pink is good on you because you've got good colour. And I was wearing the swirly orange tunic that my
cruise
mother
wear.
Bought me. Yeah, the cruise wear that my mother bought me for my 60th birthday.
Very nice.
We then both had a costume change because I wanted my pink top back and I didn't want you swanning back off to Oxford with it.
Yeah.
And so you went to your suitcase in the car and you got out your cos jumpsuit.
I know, I had two triumphs, I think, in cos this time. But what would you call the thing I had? A jumpsuit, that's right, a jumpsuit.
Yeah,
very,
it was.
A, very
but it was
it's
better than that because it was a tailored jumpsuit and that's why it suited you because it was a navy blue linen and it's quite crisp, sleeveless. Does it have a zip down the front?
Yes, zip down the front. Yes, zip down the front. So it's not too bad when you go to the loo. It's pretty bad, but it's not too bad.
Yeah, but you see, I think that because you're that much taller than me, that structured shape, the sleeveless and but the quite well fitting one, I think it really suits you. And I was wearing the baggier black linen dungarees that I got from the White Company that I copied off my sister-in-law Penny.
That had a Twitter frenzy of people saying how much they loved it. I believe.
I think it was over 5,000 likes, Judith. For the
you're joking.
No, I shit you
bloody
not.
Hell.
I know.
God. People need to get out more, don't they?
I've been stuck at home a long time.
They look good though. They look you really did look very, very good in those.
And then I put on the ridiculous orthopedic Japanese trainers that I got for my birthday as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure about those shoes.
Yeah, I know they're really odd, aren't they? They're like Japanese black plastic trainers with a massive wedge, and they've got you didn't notice they've got a purple stripe at the back.
Well, no, they make you look like Minnie Mouse, Jenny. I don't know what you're thinking of. Yeah, I mean, and also you're going to wobble off that. You're going to have this. I think you're going to have a nasty ankle injury with those shoes. Just saying.
No, I won't because I've got better balance than that. I can manage just a plastic wedge because it's not a heel. But yeah, they're a sort of acquired taste, and I'm going to wear them a few times more before I decide whether.
Oh, I think we could do a poll. Listen, we've had a poll on my sandals. And I was made to get rid of them.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
it's your turn,
certainly not
Jenny.
Getting rid of these because Jeff bought me them for my birthday.
Okay,
so
but they could be sidelined. I think we need
be
a directive.
I won't listen, of course. But anyway, the listeners can have their fun and they can do their verdict. And I think a lot of fans of the orthopedic walking shoe that you had to pretend to throw away.
I think I know which way they're going to vote.
Yeah,
I know.
Judith, the trouble is, I don't trust you not to vote and vote and vote and vote. Not to spend an entire afternoon sitting there just pressing the same button over and over and over again, cackling like a witch.
Yes, I do cackle. I'm so sorry about that.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, so your trip to London included, I mean, the highlight included coming to us for lunch, but it also had other highlights. And I mean, one of the things, so jealous of your trip to the Model Village.
The Model Village. Jenny, well, it's on the way to London. It's halfway, kind of between Oxford and London. And we got to we often drive past that sign. It's called the Beckenscott Model Village.
Yeah.
I think it's the biggest and the first model village, like, ever. And it's a very British thing, isn't it? And we peeled off. We had a bit of time and got ourselves a slot, which was amazing, you know, because obviously you have to book ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, Jenny, have you ever been?
I'm sort of so desperate to go. I mean, you know, I wanted to go to Japan before lockdown and all that.
Yeah.
I wanted to go to Japan. I wanted to go to Sweden. But now that, you know, life has shrunk around us, all I really want to do is go to the Beckenscott Model Village.
Oh, Jenny, it's amazing. It's enormous, first of all.
Jesus, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I had to be prized away. We were there for ages and I could have spent the whole day there. And there's a little kind of steam train that goes around it. Well, no, there's a kind of ride that you can take to the, you know, from where you kind of go in. No, we didn't do that. No, but there's a little model steam train with stations and station masters. And then there's, you know, a kind of village and a farm.
What era is it set in?
1929. It was built in 19... It was, you know, that's when it was built.
So all the characters are dressed in 1929 clothes.
Yes, they are. And all the shop fronts and, you know, little diddy kind of baker's shops all at sort of foot level, you know, for kids. And then the things that I found most enchanting was an open-air pool, a sort of posh hotel, you know, with kind of lovely cars arriving. And then there was an outdoor pool with people on the sun loungers and somebody swimming, somebody going off the diving board and a lifeguard and everything. And they were all obviously in 1920s sort of costumes and everything.
You put that on the Instagram, I thought for a moment you'd actually gone somewhere. I didn't look at it properly. Hell, Judith's gone to Switzerland.
Yeah, I know. Well, there were a couple of people who said, oh my God, I was just about to ask you where it is because I'm trying to book a holiday. It was so realistic. And then there was kind of workers' cottages that other photo that I put on of a kind of, you know, retired old couple, and she's got a sort of hair in a barn and she's sitting, you know, on a bench and he's up with the allotment and he's got his braces on and everything.
I can't remember that one. I'm not sure you put that one up. I'll have to check that.
Oh, I think I put that on Twitter. But it's okay. And then there were kind of, then this brilliant bit of humour, which is there's sort of, there's houses being built and it's Jerry Builders and Co. And, you know, it's a lot of the shop names have kind of got humour in them. And then there's, you'll get really carried away.
Could you buy anything in the shop, Judith? Could you buy any little models?
Disappointing. Disappointing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. Disappointing. But you know that thing that happens that we've talked about before as you get to our age where you start to like dolls' houses and you start to, you know, hobbycraft becomes this sort of mecca. So it is like, you know, it's like the doll's house, like, you know, plus.
And
everywhere.
In terms of visitors, who was having the best time? Was it women our age or was it children? And what about men? Were men going around going, I love it, I love it. Can't
Not
wait to
really.
Come again.
No, I mean, Mike and I were the only adults without any children or grandchildren, I think. I'm sure we were. But it was actually, now you've asked, it's interesting. I think the women were enjoying it more than the men. Mike quite liked it and he quite liked the trains, you know, obviously. But no, and there was also a little boy that was following the trains round, kind of running between the stations and waiting for it to arrive in a station. I mean, he was having a ball. It's enchanting. It's pointless, but wonderful.
It's not pointless. It's not pointless at all. There's so much point to a model village. I love a model village. I love a model village, and I love a floral clock. There's not enough of that sort of stuff around. No. So that was one of your highlights of London. What else?
You went to the National Gallery. Booked a slot. Very good, very well organised, nice and empty. There were three tours that you could take. Mike took one, I took another one. I took different ones. Don't know why we did that. I think he did that on purpose.
Get away from me. Made me go to a model village. Jesus Christ. I just want to walk around by myself for about an hour going, Jesus fucking Christ.
Get away from that mad woman who's annoying me.
Now, so that was exciting, going to the art. So you did travel on London public transport, though, didn't you?
Yeah, well, we were going to get an Uber, but we just thought this is ridiculously expensive, so we didn't have any choice, do we? There was a lot. We went on the tube. I was reluctant. I was nervous. There was a pep talk before we got on. It was fine going in. It was kind of quite empty and everybody was wearing masks and it was all quite easy. Mm-hmm. However, coming back, got into this carriage and I looked, quite a few people not wearing masks. So sort of went to a bit where there weren't too many people, sat down, and then this guy got on in front of us, no mask, you know, just absolutely
brazen. And,
yeah. So I thought, I'm going to have to say something. I'm going to say something. So I said, excuse me, but why aren't you wearing a mask? We all have to wear masks. And he, instead of saying, oh, yeah, you're probably right, yeah, I'll put it on, he was like, kind of, I don't have to. We don't have to do that. Well, I thought we did. And then Mike said, actually, we're sort of in the vulnerable category, to which he said, you're obviously both so neurotic. I don't know what you're doing on the tube anyway. Well, that's not the point, is it?
It's not fair. It's not fair.
It isn't fair.
No, that's sort of such... That's the epitome of selfishness, actually. That sentence just encapsulates...
It is, isn't it?
The selfishness of that kind of behaviour.
Yeah, and then he started to say, I don't know why everybody's doing, you know, what the government's telling you to do. And, you know, it's like this in Nazi Germany, at which point I just thought, Mike, come on, we'll just move. Yeah. So we just had to move carriages. But, you know, there were other people without masks as well. It's, I don't know what you do. You've got to say something, haven't you?
I didn't tell you last week because I was still too upset about it. But I had such an ugly incident in my local Sainsbury's that I'm actually not going for a couple of weeks. I don't think they want me there, for starters. They didn't outright ban me, but I think I came very close.
Oh, shit.
And yeah, I'll just, it very quickly in a nutshell, I went into Sainsbury's, masked up, two guys come in, late 30s, good looking, sort of just not masked. And I said, excuse me, why aren't you wearing masks? Well, I got the complete aggressive diatribe. You know, I'm a sheep. It's all brainwashing.
Yeah,
it's
same
government
thing.
Conspiracy. All this.
How
kind of
ridiculous!
Thing. And I just, and they said we don't have to. We don't want to. We're not going to. And I lost it. And I just shouted as if I had a megaphone. I didn't quite do Sergeant Major voice, which might have been actually made it funny, but I didn't. And I just went, selfish men not wearing masks in the supermarket. Like that loud.
Bloody hell, well done.
That
well
loud.
Done.
Okay.
Did people cheer? I'd have bloody cheered. I'd have come around and applauded you.
Yeah, because you're one of us, Judith. You're you're an older and wider, and you'd have rallied round. You might have said, all right, love, you know, keep it down. And they look a bit mad, you know. You might have to run, and that's not going to work, is it, you fat, daft cow? But I got absolutely no support from any of the other shoppers.
Jenny,
everyone
that's
shrank
awful.
Back. I mean, there were quite a lot of middle-aged couples. And I have to say, the men just vanished.
Oh, dear.
And I don't blame them, because they're the ones that are going to get thumped in the face if they confront. I'm not, because I'm an older woman, and these guys are not going to look cool hitting me. So then, instead of getting any support, I get a haranguing from two other women who are also maskless. And do the whole, there was one who went complete fishwife on me.
Oh,
and she was going,
God.
You don't have to wear a mask. Some people don't have to wear masks because they got exemptions in there because they got medical exemptions. They don't have to wear masks. You don't always, it's nothing to do with you. They don't have to wear a mask. They don't have to.
It's a very good impression of a fishwife.
Yeah. It's quite near to my heart. And I said, I did ask them why they weren't. And they said, because we don't have to and we don't want to. So that's not a medical
But they do
infection.
Have to. I mean, that's ridiculous as
well,
isn't it?
Sainsbury's apparently is not going to, what's it called, put anything into action. They are going to more or less leave it to the customer's discretion.
Oh, for goodness. Oh, I'm not getting into Sainsbury's again either. That's appalling.
Well, I think most shops, Judith, because they cannot police it. They can only police it by calling the police, and then the police are going to, you know, they can't come out to every single shop where someone chooses not to wear a mask. And this is where the whole selfishness comes in. And that means that people like you and me try and police it, and that's not very sensible, because actually it just leads to very bad feeling. At the end of when I spoke to a manager, and I felt a bit fobbed off, but I also understood that they were in a very difficult situation because they cannot have their security guards risking life and limb every 10 minutes.
No, but I mean, but I think it's for people to club together and complain, isn't it? To say, look, you know, I feel uncomfortable with you out. Where we've got to support each other when we're having those conversations. Surely. Oh, it's awful.
Oh, dear. The other thing, what was the other highlight of your London trip? What was the other highlight that you forgot?
Oh, well, another gallery.
Yes,
which was absolutely lovely. You, at the end of lunch, you took us to have a look at Jeff's gallery. It's seriously grown up, Jenny.
It is lovely. It is, and it's very small, but it's not tiny. It's not like a babyish space. It's quite a domestic space. It's just in a Victorian... I think it's a house, actually. It's the ground floor of a Victorian house. It's only Saturdays and Wednesdays in East Dulwich. And if anyone's local, I don't expect anyone to travel to this. But if you are local to East Dulwich, it's behind Franklin's Fruit and Veg, which is on Lordship Lane. And the number of the gallery is 155A Lordship Lane, but it's actually on the corner of Lordship Lane and Boredale Road. Anyway... and we had it was so exhausting setting this up, and I didn't do anything, but it was still exhausting, Judith. And basically half of it is 20th century prints and one wall is just contemporary paintings. So we had a very successful day, and on Saturday, a celebrity that both you and I occasionally have little fleeting fantasies over.
The Hots Four.
We have the Hots Four, but we can't mention his name because it's not fair on him. Nobody wants to be sort of, you know, reported on for going shopping. But he bought a print, and honestly, I had to go outside while the transaction was going on.
You were overexcited.
I was overexcited. And Phoebe had just turned up, and I kept saying, just go and look who it is, just go and look who it is. In fact, it was him and her. It was a couple. It was a sort of quite well-known couple in the acting world. And I honestly, I had to go for a bit of a walk around the block.
I think that's very impressive. I mean, I'm properly impressed. But I think you should have an exhibition. I really do think you should have an exhibition in that space. Come on. I really do. You've got some lovely pieces.
And Mike said that you and I should do one together.
No, you should do one. You should do one.
I can't. No, we're not doing that. Listen, we've got so much on our plates at the moment. You're trying to... What's Poppy up to?
Do you know what? Poppy has kind of doubled in size. I looked at the pictures of when she arrived and I looked at a recent picture. I think she has literally doubled in size. I'm so sad that we couldn't bring her to see you, but Ellen was looking after her here. And, you know, I couldn't take her where we were staying. So kind of that was it, really.
Jeff would have had a massive allergic reaction anyway.
Of course he would, I know. He pretended to be disappointed. He wasn't disappointed at all.
He was relieved. Of course his sinuses are terrible at the moment. That would really, really have hurt. Yeah. But there we go. You know, I missed out on seeing Poppy.
I know. Well, one of these days. And when we're back in the studio, I will definitely bring her. But she's doubled in size, although she's still titting about with food. She's still, you know, giving me the run around with food. Doesn't like the fucking stuff that, you know, I've still got 1.5 sacks
of. The bulk bore.
Oh, the bulk bore. Absolutely. She still doesn't like that. And then she put other bits and pieces on the top and then she just eats that. Sienna bought a brilliant thing, actually. She bought this kind of thing, which was like a bit like a kind of nursery wooden game that you put the treats in. And they have to work out how to knock, you know, little counters off to get to the treats because they can smell them. Isn't that clever?
So it's a sort of crystal maze for dogs.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think you and I could do with one for Kettle Crisps because I think, you know, to spin them out a bit. You know what I mean?
We'd just turn it upside down, shake it till the crisps fell out. That's what we'd do.
We'd find a way, wouldn't we? We would find a way.
Take a hammer to it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Judith, we've yammered on for quite a long time now. Mm-hmm, and I think it's time for us to go into our culture section of the show. And I think we need an update on our what are we reading?
Well, I started a new book called The Familiars by Stacey Halls, which I think was a Richard and Judy thing last year. Yes. But yeah. it's the book club, our book club. And it's, gosh, a really interesting, different sort of book set in the 17th century, sort of industrial Lancashire, and a very, very nice voice. But the thing is, it's about a woman who's only 17 and is pregnant for the third time. She's had two stillbirths. It's the third pregnancy. And she's found a letter from the doctor that her husband has seen, and he hasn't shown her, which says if she goes into a child bed, as they put it, again, she won't live. So she's actually carrying a baby, and she knows that, you know, she'll probably die in childbirth. And God, I mean, it makes you realise, doesn't it? The bloody, you know, the fear that women would have gone into giving birth, the brutality of it. It's incredible.
So are you listening to this one? Or are you
I'm listening.
It?
Yeah, it's an Audible. Yeah. But good. At the moment, I think it's going to be very good.
Okay. Well, it should be if it's a Rich and Judy. They don't, you know, they don't pick any old rubbish.
No, they don't muck about.
They go for what they know a lot of people are going to really, really enjoy. I have just finished Such a Fun Age by Kylie Reid, which has been nominated for the Booker. Now, I've always fought quite shy of Booker-nominated books because some of them are really tricksy and really just hard reads. And this is a very accessible, very easy read. And the book begins with a black babysitter accused of kidnapping the white toddler who is in her care. And it's just, I've listened to it, and again, the narrator is fabulous. It's a really vivid book with very... The characters come off the page, which is a total cliche, but it's absolutely true. Very vibrant young black female characters. Plus, it's very funny. And it's that what I like is the fantastic blend of the very domestic, yet it's still saying something about a bigger issue. And there is a three-year-old, she turns from two to three in the book. There's a toddler who is the charge, you know, the babysitter's charge. And it's the best toddler voice that I've ever heard.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
is
it's just it? Such a charming... She's called Briar, and it's this very original, very funny little girl with just such a definite voice. And I just... It's a lovely relationship. The relationship between this white toddler and her black babysitter is absolutely delicious.
Mm, that sounds good.
Yeah, it is good, it is. And I've started a psychological thriller now by Louise Candlish, who won a lot of prizes for a book she wrote last year. It's called The Other Passenger. And it's one of those sort of instantly gripping modern-day psychological thrillers. Mm.
So you scamper through those books, don't you? Very good.
And I'm reading Dom Jolly's The Hezbollah Hiking Club as well, because he's coming around on Thursday. He's got a bi-royal appointment visit for the gallery. And he wants a quote for this book, which I'm actually really, really enjoying. And it's not the sort of thing you and I would pick up, but it's a travel book for people who don't really like travel books. I've never been a travel book reader. I think, you know, people are or they aren't. But because this is Dom and it's such a personal thing, and it's going back to Beirut where his family
Oh, he was born, wasn't
from.
He? Where he's brought
it's
up.
Just, especially at the moment with everything that's happened.
Oh, yes.
It's just really... It's really nice to remember that Beirut was another place once upon a time. It was a vibrant, sort of forward-looking place. And it's really educational, but also very, very funny. And TV-wise, I've got a recommendation from Helen Jones, age 60. Oh, and a quarter.
At 60 and a quarter,
Same age as me. She might even be a Pisces like me. And she recommends for me The West Wing... After The Sopranos. Have you done that one, Judith?
No, I haven't. I could do that. Might feel a bit dated, though, I think, now. Mind you could have said that about The Sopranos, presumably.
And it doesn't feel... It just feels... I'm on the last series now, Judith, and things are going badly wrong for the mob family, and they're all getting too old to be mobsters. And it's the most... It's kind of devastating. It really is. It's this last series is quite harrowing, and you're just getting the impending doom feeling that it's not going to end well.
Gosh. You've really loved it, haven't
you? I've loved it like a relationship. It's long. Lasted longer than some relationships I've had, and I'm fonder of it, and I will remember it with much more love than I will many other things. And just on the subject of telling, because I think some people last week thought that I was unduly harsh on Fiona Bruce last week and her wardrobe.
Well, I think we both were. Yeah.
Should we take it back?
Yeah, I think we should. Yeah, okay. She's probably quite powerful as well, isn't she?
It's not just that. But this past Sunday, when she was on Antiques Roadshow, she was wearing a really fabulous outfit.
Oh, was she? Yeah. Maybe she listened to the podcast and thought she'd better up again. You don't know. Might have done.
Imagine, she was wearing this gorgeous yellow shorty jacket with a pair of well-fitting jeans.
Oh,
yeah, she looked splendid.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there you go. She'll be in those gold hot pants, won't she, before too long.
She knows what's good for her. Yeah,
yep, absolutely. Indeed. We've had some nice emails.
Yes.
Justine, 53 and three quarters. I'm very pleased to say that people are being much more careful about telling us their age now. Efficient,
absolutely.
I mean.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And she's been binge listening, but she's obviously... Quite a few people do that, don't they? They obviously discover us and sort of binge listen them all. And she said she was really enjoying them, but she didn't think a lot of episode 74 until she realised she had us on 1.5 speed.
Yeah, we must have sounded like sort of hysterical chipmunks, which we do anyway now and again. But I've accidentally done that, and it really is. It's a complete mindfuck. I did a book once on it. I thought, what's the producer thinking here? This is ridiculous. Why can't this narrator just calm the fuck down? We got a great email from last week. I was talking about the difficulty of leafleting through bastard letterboxes. And Nicole Nixon, this is one of our younger listeners at 43, emailed in to say she was a leafleter for Slimming World and she recommends the wooden spatula technique.
Brilliant.
Which is, God, that just shows such experience, right? So you're leafleting and you encounter a bastard letterbox with all the bristled ones that don't let you put a flyer through. You've got in your bag, right? You've got a wooden spatula and you push it through. Yeah, push it through.
That is just a genius. That's intelligence, isn't it? Bloody good. Really good. Very good.
Finally, we got sent a brilliant photograph. Have we put it up on our social media yet?
No, I don't think. I think we should. I don't understand these things because I think they sent it via Messenger or something.
Linda and Josie, right, who are very good friends, and they retired from teaching at infant school, and they were inspired by the photo we put up on Sunday, and they put one of the two of them up. Because they look like our kind of doppelgangers.
They do, don't they?
Very friendly, you said, oh, God, it's like sort of twin towns. You know when people have twin towns? It's like we've got twin older and wider members.
Absolutely. Yeah, a different form of twinning.
Yeah, that are like us, but aren't.
But did you enlarge the picture to see what they were sitting on?
No.
Oh, it's hilarious. They're obviously outside the school where they used to teach. And they're both sitting on like a big kind of rocking horse, a double, you know, like a tandem rocking thing.
That's filthy, really, isn't it? They were getting their kicks. So I think they might have been getting slight sexual pleasure from a rocking horse in a playground.
They look like jolly good fun to me. And I think we should, maybe there are other people that look like us.
You've got a mate, if you look a bit like me and you've got a mate who looks a bit like Judith, then send us the photographic evidence because it really makes us laugh.
Jenny. Might be a bit scary. I get a bit worried about my side of the bargain here, but there you go. I'll have to be brave.
I think, oh, God, what, you think you look like me? Get out of here. But the email address is olderwiderpod@gmail.com.
Oh, well done, Jenny.
I know.
You did that without any help.
Oh,
bloody
I've got it
good.
Written down on a piece of paper here, Judith. You just can't see it. And I think that we've had a lovely chat today.
We certainly have.
I'll finish the show, though, by giving you and Mike your marks out of 10 for...
Oh, God, yes. I forgot to... now I'm a bit worried. Go on. What are our marks out of 10?
For greediness, you get 10 out of 10. For polishing off the food on your plates, you get 10 out of 10. And for being very well-mannered, you get 10 out of 10. It's a full three tens.
Blimey.
Yeah.
Jolly good. Well, okay. We'll have to return the favour and there'll be gravy. I'm just saying, there'll be gravy.
All right.
Right, I'm worn out now.
Yeah, worn out now. Go for a nap now. Go for a lie down.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Bye, gang.
Bye, everybody. Speak soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.